Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up on the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook and his neighbor from across the alley, Mr. Mervyn Sproul. The gentlemen are seated on the Davenport, and the conversation is going along in this wise.
I spent 2 summers in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I'm pretty fairly acquainted with the city myself.
Oh, I can't say I know it like a book or anything, but I've been through there frequently enough so that I know my way around.
It's on the lake.
Yes, and you can see some mighty pretty views of the lake.
It's on Lake Erie there.
No, Sproul.
It's on Lake Erie there. On a clear day, a man can see right across to Canada.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin is on Lake Michigan, Sproul.
This is Toledo, Ohio.
You're talking about Toledo, Ohio?
Yes.
I was under the impression we were discussing Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Toledo, Ohio.
Okay, let's discuss Toledo, Ohio. Yes, Toledo is on Lake Erie.
I was born in Boston, Massachusetts.
I see.
I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, but I spent considerable time down south of there.
Well, I guess our friends have finished the supper dishes.
Yes.
Are you finished the supper dishes, friends?
Yes.
I broke my usual saucer.
He considers that funny. Every time he helps me with the dishes, he drops the saucer and breaks it and then laughs.
Well, I'm amused because it shows human weakness.
Don't be amused. You two gentlemen having a lovely conversation?
Only moderately lovely. We start out talking about Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and all of a sudden we discover we're talking about Toledo, Ohio.
Very, very interesting.
Yes, especially when you throw in Boston, Massachusetts to really gum it up.
My daughter Florence, I guess she's still downtown.
Yes, and will be till maybe 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Is there anything I can get you, Mr. Sproul? A glass of water or a little taste of something to eat?
He just finished supper.
He forgets sometimes. Mr. Sproul, are you comfortable?
Yes.
Could I bring you a glass of water or a little taste of something to eat?
Yes.
Glass of water?
No.
Little taste of something to eat?
No.
Oh, how about a pillow for behind your back? Rush, why don't you go?
Telephone's ringing.
Oh, yes. Most likely Fred and Ruthie.
Might be the chap trying to locate Uncle Fletcher that called a while ago.
Oh, was that for Uncle Fletcher? I meant to holler in and ask.
Oh.
Hello? Yes? Why, no, he isn't. No. Have you tried his residence? Uh-huh. I see. Not at all. Goodbye.
Fella want Uncle Fletcher?
Yes.
My daughter Florence, she's gonna sew a pocket in my shawl for me.
That'll be nice.
She's gonna sew a pocket on my shawl, and then I'll have a place to put peanuts with chocolate smeared on outside.
Never heard of a pocket on a shawl.
I like them peanuts with chocolate smeared on outside.
That tastes pretty good, all right.
When I was in Toledo, Massachusetts, looking across Lake Erie into Canada there, I offered...
Telephone's ringing.
Oh, yes, you get it this time.
Okay.
Does my daughter Florence want me on the telephone?
We'll see, Mr. Sproul.
Yes.
Hello. Yes? No, he isn't. No, I'm afraid I couldn't tell you. Have you tried his home? Uh-huh. I see. Not at all. Boy.
For Uncle Fletcher, huh?
Yeah, he's sure popular all of a sudden. Mm. This was a different party from the guy I spoke to a while ago.
Smelly Clark's Uncle Sap gets a tremendous kick out of telephoning his lady friend and pretending he's a...
Evening, Sadie, honey. In the living room, are they?
The glamorous man about town in person.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
My daughter Florence.
It's my Uncle Fletcher, Mr. Sproul.
Yes.
He's got colder in the last 30 to 45 minutes. The man needs his mittens and muffler. Good evening, Sadie. Vic, you're looking fine. Rush, you on deck, Harvey. Well, and Sproul, honey.
Yes.
All prettied up in your shawl and baby bonnet like a regular dude.
Yes.
I knew an elderly chap there in Belvedere, Illinois, that wore a hood and a bib. But you're the first sport I ever come across that preferred shawl and baby bonnet.
Telephone's ringing.
Uncle Fletcher, that's sure to be for you.
Who?
People have called and asked for you 3 times just since supper. Maybe it was 4 times.
Offhand, I'd say the parties was either B.B. Ball, Pelter on Bleach, and his imaginary brother, Michigan.
Do you want to answer the phone?
Is there any hurry about it?
No, not at all. Why don't you take a nap first?
I imagine a half-wit will keep ringing till a man's able to finish his sentence.
Oh.
I started to say it was my opinion B.B. Ball is making the call.
You also made a guess it was Pelter on Bleach and his imaginary brother, or Michigan.
Maybe we won't need you in this, Rush.
Oh.
Oh, answer the phone, Uncle Fletcher.
When a numbskull telephone rings, the American public dashes for it like it might explode if it wasn't answered the first 5 seconds. Hello? Yes, this is Fletcher Rush speaking. Who? Oh, hello. Annie Fatler.
Yes.
You don't know him, Sprawl.
My daughter Florence is going to sew me a pocket on my shawl. Then I'll have a place to keep them peanuts with the chocolate smeared on the outsides.
Tell her to sew a pocket on your baby bonnet. Then you'll have a place to stick a lighted candle and can see where you're going.
Uncle Fletcher, you're keeping your friend on the telephone waiting.
This is Ernie Fatler on the telephone.
Well, speak to Ernie Fatler.
Say, honey, who is handling this affair?
Oh, yes.
Hello, Ernie. Ernie Fatler's a ticket agent down in the interurban station.
He'll enjoy that.
You're familiar with Ernie, Vic?
Sure.
Wears the green eye shade and the cigar behind his ear and the indelible pencil marks on his chin where he forgot he had an indelible pencil and moistened it by accident and then poked himself in the chin and left marks.
Ernie and I are old cronies.
I'll give Ernie your regards.
Do that.
Hello, Ernie. He's a great old Ernie.
He's tall to the earth.
Hello, Ernie. Ernie. Oh, Ernie. He's hung up.
Yes.
And that's what numbskull hung up.
Very rude of
him. I'll hang up myself, by George. Ernie Fatler's a fine chap, but he's got a few rough edges. Trust Ernie Fatler with your last shirt. Put your valuables unhesitatingly in Ernie Fatler's care. Let Ernie Fatler handle your stocks and bonds. But don't allow Ernie Fatler into your gold and silver drawing room and permit him to loll on your red velvet couch. Ernie Fatler lacks polish. Ernie Fatler lacks the subtle, high-toned, la-di-da garbage that marks a man of the sexual.
Ernie Fatler's ringing. Ernie Fatler's ringing.
Talk to him this time. Don't make him stand there with the receiver to his ear while you make jokes about Mr. Sprawl's baby bonnet.
Yes.
Hello? Who? Yeah, speaking. And who's this? Well, hello, old pal. B.B. Baugh. What's new, old pal?
Was it B.B. Baugh that called a while ago?
No.
Was it Ernie Fatler?
No.
B.B. Baugh's telling me a funny thing that happened when he was stirring up a pot of hyena grease this afternoon. Go right ahead, B.B.
At least three different fellas have called here for Uncle Fletcher since supper, huh?
At least four. The first guy was different from the second, and neither one of them was either Fatler or Baugh.
Mighty funny, B.B., mighty funny. I'll relay that on to my husband and her niece. Vic and Sadie, honey, B.B. Baugh tells... Beg pardon, B.B.? You're going to hang up? I see. Well, look, B.B., why don't you call me back in a half hour or so? I'll be down the interurban station. Yeah. You do that, B.B. Okay, B.B. Bye-bye, B.B.
My daughter Florence, I guess she's still downtown.
Yes, Mr. Sprawl. She'll be along directly.
Yes.
There was the funny thing that happened to B.B. Baugh when he was stirring up a pot of hyena grease this afternoon. He was down in the basement.
Telephone's ringing, telephone's ringing.
Hi, hold it home.
This might possibly be for me.
I'd bet a nickel on the strength of that possibility.
Hello? Yes. Oh, hello, Y.I.I.Y. Y.I.I.Y. Skeever, the barber down there at the Butler House Hotel. How's garbage with you, Y.I.I.Y.? Nothing new, huh? I see. Well, keep in touch with me. I'll be down in the interurban station, Y.I.I.Y. Why don't you give me a ring in half an hour? Sure. Okay, Y.I.I.Y. Goodbye, Y.I.I.Y.
Oh, so that's it, huh?
Beg pardon, lady, honey?
You deliberately instruct these chums of yours to call you on the telephone.
Yeah.
You don't have any business with them or anything. You just ask them to call for the sake of calling.
That's it, lady, honey. I don't know why I never thought of it before. Bucks a man up to be wanted on the telephone. Makes him feel important. Take me half an hour from now when I saunter in the interurban station. I'll receive the information I had from 3 to 6 telephone calls. The bystanders, the habitually skulks in the interurban station, will gape and stare. Probably even while they're gaping and staring, the telephone will ring, and it'll be for me. I won't make nothing special out of it. I'll swagger up to the telephone and put the receiver up to my ear and demand to know who wants me. The bystanders crane their ears and oogle and stretch.
I'm not going to say anything about childish tricks, Uncle Fletcher. I'm not going to say anything about... Oh, he is.
Telephone's ringing, telephone's ringing.
I heard the telephone.
Yes, Mr. Sprawl, you did.
This might possibly be for me, Sadie, honey.
Uh-huh.
Well, answer.
Do that.
Hello? This is Fletcher Rush speaking. Michigan, Michigan from Michigan, Michigan. Hello, Michigan, Michigan from Michigan, Michigan. Michigan, Michigan from Michigan, Michigan.
Which concludes another brief visit at the small house halfway up in the next block.